Salutations, Mets fans, and welcome to this week's edition of Amazon Avenue Audio, the official podcast of your SB Nation New York Mets site, Amazon Avenue. I'm your host, Jeffrey Paternostro, and with me this week once again is Greg Karam. Greg, the Amazon Avenue regional gathering here, or ARG, was this past weekend, and a good time was had by all. But if you could invite, or bring as a plus one, a famous person to the ARG, who would it be and why?
You know, it depends on how you want to define who a famous person is. You
know, I think we should probably go with no actual Mets for this purposes, just because it's like, it would be kind of awkward if we're sitting there, you know, slagging on Wilmer Flores in front of like Wilmer Flores, or I keep saying as the evening wears on more and more outlandishly positive things about Dilson Herrera in front of Daniel Murphy or something like that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I want to, if I'm hanging out, I want to be able to talk baseball. So if I want to do it like with someone within the organization who's kind of famous, to do it with, I'll invite Paul DePodesta because I feel like he'd be a fun guy to talk to. But if I want to get a little bit more creative with that, then I want to invite some Met fans. And so maybe I'll invite a guy like Jerry Seinfeld or Chris Rock or like a Louis C.K. I think those guys are Mets fans. I think that would be, they would be fun to talk Mets baseball about.
Also, isn't Louis a Red Sox fan because he grew up in Boston? I don't know.
I saw him at a game. I guess he was just there with Chris Rock. But we could also possible. We could also try to convince them to combine their forces and try to buy out the Wings. So that's an added bonus.
I don't think Louis C.K. has that much money.
Well, Jerry Seinfeld. Probably
Jerry Seinfeld does. Yeah, he could easily afford to buy the Mets probably. Yeah. Unsurprisingly, I went in a slightly different direction, as I am wont to do, and I am going with German film director Werner Herzog.
Just to hear him speak.
Yeah, well, there's that too. I think he would have an interesting perspective on sports fandom and Mets fandom in general. He's lived an interesting life. I think he would just be very quiet, and then occasionally he would just like break in with these sort of profound,
very profound,
yeah, things to say about the nature of, you know, faith and humanity and
that's actually pretty
existence.
Good.
Yeah. He'd just sit there quietly. He'd just be like smoking a cigar too, even though you can't smoke in bars in New York City, and no one would say anything to him because he's Werner Herzog.
Is there like an essential, like Herzog, like film that I should see? Beyond like the most recent ones that have been out.
What was his? Well, he was involved in what?
Well, he did some documentaries recently, like Grizzly Man.
Yeah, I think he was involved in that Indonesian film too. Mm. But I don't know how involved. I would say if you want sort of like Herzog Kinski era film, start with Hitz of Corrado. If you want sort of documentary Herzog, start with Little Dieter Learns to Fly.
Okay. I'll write that down.
But yeah, I just like, and also you're getting drinks with Werner Herzog, which is, yeah, I assume, an experience. It just end with one of us having like a leg wound in some like random neighborhood in New Jersey at 3 a.m. after we wandered out onto the streets after a few too many.
All right.
No idea how we got it. It's episode 103 of Amazing Avenue Audio. I think I'm gonna start doing away with naming episodes at this point.
You're out of years.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, I could do like 2003, which I don't remember all that well. I'm sure stuff happened. It was just like a bad art how team.
Yeah.
But Wright didn't come up until the next year. The Kazmir trade wasn't until the next year. We're past Operation Shutdown. I don't remember much about the 2003 Mets, I'm not gonna lie. I wonder who their best player is. Let's find out. It feels like it's one of those years where Steve Traxel was their best player. 69-92. Or sorry, that was their Pythagorean record. 66-95 last in the NL East. Still Steve Phillips. Ooh, man. Wow. Lot of Joe McEwing at bats. A lot of Raul Gonzalez at bats. Jeff Duncan. This outfield is not good. Bad Roger Cedeno.
Yeah, this is a time in my life when I was not very concerned with how the Mets were doing.
Jason, no. Cliff Floyd was their best hitter that year. Cliff Floyd and then Jason Phillips. Piazza looks like he was hurt a bunch because he only played 68 games. I remember so little of this season. Yeah, Steve Traxel was their best pitcher. 188 innings from Jay Wong So. Jay Wong So had a 3.82 ERA that year, and he was 10% better than league average. We've come a long way.
Times have changed.
Times have changed. Oh, let's take a quick look at WAR here. Yeah, Cliff Floyd and Jose Reyes, the best two Mets position players. Reyes did that in 69 games and was basically a league average hitter. That was when he was having, of course, his constant leg problems. He came up 2002 briefly. Maybe that was his first season.
This is a wild team because, like, nobody played a lot of games.
Yep. Steve Traxel, most valuable, unsurprisingly. Steve Traxel threw 200 innings of 3.96 run average per nine ball and was worth almost 4.5 wins.
Wow.
Because the average pitcher, my favorite like little RA9 average stat from Baseball Reference, the average pitcher pitching in front of that Mets defense against those teams and those stadiums would have had an ERA of over 5. I think last year it was like 3.6. It's literally like a run and a half less a game 12 years ago.
Yeah, it's no offense in baseball. We know that all too well.
So that's our little stroll down memory lane because we don't have much else to talk about. Later in the show, David Roth will make a triumphant return. As we start to get in towards preview season, like 2015 previews, we do them every year. You know, we'll go position by position in the coming weeks, leading up to opening day, take a look at your 2015 Mets, really break it down, give our predictions and whatnot. But I think we're going to, David and I will sort of give you an overview of how you can emotionally prepare yourself, intellectually prepare yourself for the 2015 Mets season. We may talk about Christmas movies too. We'll see how things go. We generally do have trouble staying on the beaten path when he comes on. We also will answer your emails later in the show. We have some emails. But we'll kick things off. Episode 100 was very famously subtitled Max Scherzer is not a Met. I have a feeling episode 103 will be subtitled James Shields is not a Met, because James Shields is not a Met, Greg.
Yes. Signed for a very reasonable deal. With
very reasonable. 4 years of the team option.
With the, you know, the large market San Diego Padres.
James Shields is a really good pitcher. And look, I know. The Mets pitching staff is not a weakness per se. Every team can use James Shields on a 4-year deal. Every team.
Yeah.
Last, especially, you know, we talk about the Mets, Matt Harvey on an innings limit. Jacob DeGrom will probably be on some sort of innings limit. You know, Zach Wheeler has his stamina issues, hasn't thrown 200 innings in a season yet. John Neese pitched the entire last season with a shoulder that felt like there were knives sticking in it every time.
Yeah.
And Bartolo Colon's great. But the last 4 years, James Shields has thrown 249, 227, 228, and 227 innings in the American League.
Yeah, and the Zips projections on him for the next 5 years are actually...